Hello and welcome back to the Pals Anime Lounge, a podcast where a bunch of pals get together to talk about anime using the free episode rule. I'm your host Nikki, and joining me are Ace.
Hello.
And Rhodes.
You alright?
Welcome one, welcome all. Would you believe that today's episode, we are, for a change, not going to be talking about an isekai anime?
That's good, can't wait for the next one.
I've got bad news for you.
Is it an isekai? Oh, it is.
Yeah. Spoilers for next episode, we're back to talking about isekai, but not this episode, because this episode, we're talking about the Acrotrope on White Sand. So this is, well, this is a slice of life anime. That's the only tag it has. It's an anime original with 24 episodes that has been produced by PA Works. They have done plenty of different shows over the years, including Angel Beats, The Day I Became God, and Unamusu Pretty Derby, or essentially it's the horse racing anime. It's the horse girl racing anime. It's you know the one.
A horse girl racing anime.
Have I not shown you that? It's also a gacha.
Oh my god. Please carry on. I don't like it.
Okay. Besides the point, they've worked on a lot. According to my anime list, they've been involved in over 50. Oh, they also did another.
Oh, that's a banger.
There you go. We got Rhodes back. But yeah, so this show, as I mentioned, is a slice of life. And this one is set primarily in an aquarium, although potentially all of it. Again, we're really going to speak about the first three episodes. The show starts with, I guess, our main character, who's from. They're in Tokyo. She was an idol. She's now quit/been fired from being an idol, and she's basically moving back home. And it's a little bit all sad, and you know. Then completely out of nowhere, just jumps on a flight to Okinawa, which is one of the southernmost islands in Japan, known for its beaches, hot weather, and kind of unique dialect, which some people almost say is like its own entire language, because it's that different to, like, I guess, kind of traditional Japanese that you might find within, say, like the Greater Tokyo area.
And it's most famous for Kiryu Kazuma's orphanage in the Yakuza games. Okay, maybe not most known for.
That's a better fact than I had, to be fair. That's great. Anyway, so yeah, she just spontaneously gets on a flight to Okinawa and, yeah, basically just starts wandering around, nearly passes out, gets saved by, like, the local tourist lady, the local, like, she works for the tourist office. She's like, you know, she's driving around. She knows the place. She knows everyone. Just by happenstance, ends up at an aquarium, meets the current director. He was a stand-in director and is basically the granddaughter of the actual director. Who found out after watching the first episode is actually 18, like is chronically 18. And so, yeah, she loves aquariums, she loves fish, she loves the penguins. And yeah, hijinks follows. She like, at the end of the first episode is her basically begging for a job and then so on and so forth. But I just want to really draw attention to the fact that, you know, she has basically just run away from home. Like, I guess whether that was her intention or not. So you kind of that's kind of the setup, at least at the end of the first episode, is it's kind of like she's just gone AWOL. She's feeling a bit lost for herself because, you know, her dream of being an idol's failed, and then going to start working at an aquarium. Sounds about right for a slice of life anime.
It's definitely slice of life to the max, isn't it?
Yeah. Like, you know, we've spoken about a lot of isekai recently, and isekai obviously are known for particular tropes and, you know, cliches. Slice of life is this wonderful genre in that there's always kind of the tropes and the cliches, but slice of life just means anything, essentially. Like, it's kind of like you just put a few characters in a place and say, slice of life, and just random things happen. And in the first three episodes alone of this, like, yeah, random things happen.
Yeah, like, none of it makes sense. Like, the whole thing is just nonsense. It's just like, it feels like every episode is just so isolated from every other episode.
Yeah, because, you know, I kind of, as the first episode's playing, and she makes her way to the aquarium, and it's kind of set up as, like, this, not destiny, but it's almost like there's something, you know, it's kind of like fate, something's put saying that she needs to be here kind of thing. There's almost this moment, like, when in the first two episodes, I should say, where I was like, oh, is this actually going to kind of be one of those shows where I'm going to end up learning random bits and pieces as it goes? And to a degree, there's a little bit of that. But then it just reminds you it's a slice of life. And there's nothing wrong with it being slice of life. It's just slice of life is a very weird genre. That aside, though, at least the first episode especially, I do have to say, really, really pretty. Like, the backgrounds, the sort of, like, effects when, I want to say she's hallucinating, and, like, starts swimming, and it's a very Disney magical moment. It's a very pretty and well-animated I thought all three episodes looked good and were animated well, but the first episode especially is, like, very, very pretty.
Yeah, that's most of the thing that I wrote down about it, was how good it looked. I think I would have... I didn't enjoy it overall, right? But I think what kept me... I don't want to say kept me going, because I would have watched all three episodes no matter how bad it was. I think what made it bearable was how good it looked. Like, I kept wanting to watch, not because I thought it was the best show, like, narratively or anything, but because I was just like, I want to see, like, what they do next, because it just looks so good. Like, there's a bit, is it in episode one where she's in the aquarium? And, like, I've never fancied fish before, but here we are.
They really, I can't remember the last time I've been to an aquarium, but when she's first going into the aquarium for the very first time, it's like, it dims the lights, and you get the light is suddenly coming from the tanks. And it is literally like being in an aquarium. Like, they captured that mood brilliantly. Yeah. And you come to find that basically, like, the kind of, I guess, setup for the show, one of the many, what I suppose would be the overarching themes, is that you find out that the place is at risk of closing down at the end of summer. And so that's kind of like the urgency of the show, is like, they have until... They show a calendar at one point. I think it's like 2 months, about, like, to essentially try and save the aquarium. And so, like, you can see that things are, like, worn and teared, and, like, they've illustrated, like, that detail is in there beautifully. Obviously, the character's a little bit cleaner because, you know, they've got to be animated, but there's a really nice attention to detail on the show.
No, yeah, I definitely agree with that. I feel like it's just a bit slow. Slow doesn't feel like the right word. Like, it doesn't feel slow. It's just... It feels like it's missing something, you know, like, I don't think the characters are particularly bad. I don't think the story is particularly bad. In fact, that might even be the problem. Everything's all right outside of the art. Like, you know, it's like, it feels safe. I think it's probably the right word to explain it. Like, it doesn't feel like the show takes many risks for the most part. It's just, you know, it feels like a slice of life. It's just hitting points, the kind of points you would expect the kind of genre to hit. You know, it's like this moment where you're like, oh, that's a bit sad. And you're like, oh, that's a bit happy. And it all feels very safe, which is fine. Like, it doesn't make it bad. It just, I think it limits how good it can be or how good it could grow to be.
See, my initial thought throughout the whole thing, it really looks good. And it has to look good because... My theory is that this is produced by the Okinawa Tourism Board. They want people to visit Okinawa. You keep learning, oh, these are Okinawa donuts, and this is some weird caveman boy. What the hell is with that thing?
I'm sure you've said this before, that you thought this was a thing. Like, I definitely remember, I feel like I'm going for deja vu right now, but I feel like I definitely remember you saying those exact words at one point.
I think it was in the pilot episode when we were talking about stuff that was potentially, like, we were going to be talking about. And I think you did, because I recall this as well. I think you made this claim then too.
Do you work for the Mace?
No, but one of the, as you said, Nikki, one of the characters, one of the main characters works for the Tourism Association.
I think, I've just very quickly had a look as we're recording, and I can't see any information to say that it is. I think what it is that, and I've never been to Japan, let alone Okinawa, but, like, from what I've heard from people and what I've seen, Okinawa is very unique, and for the way I think it's portrayed in the show, I think it's probably trying to capture that. Because, like, there's a lot of talk about how, like there's a character that makes a comment at one point how it's like, oh, once you meet, you're basically siblings, like, you know, you look out for each other, like, we're all a family. And, like, I think they're trying to, like, maybe capture, I could be wrong, you know, if someone wants to correct me, please do, but I think that's, like, maybe they're trying to capture that kind of, like, magicalness of Okinawa. That doesn't sound quite right, but hopefully you kind of get what I mean, because it is a very unique part of Japan.
Visit the magical world of Okinawa by watching this anime.
And learn that you have to carry drinks with you because it gets very hot in Okinawa.
Well, you know what? You know, the more you say it, the more I believe you. That it could just be that.
Also penguins.
I love penguins.
Can we...
No. Don't say it. Are you going to talk about what happens in the third episode?
No, I was actually going to talk about the bit in the second episode where a penguin bites her in the bum, but...
Oh, I thought you were going to talk about the one where it gives birth.
Oh, I mean, we'll get into that.
Yeah, the best thing is, you know, when I watch the episodes, right, I usually go and like read like the plots for the episodes, just like give myself a little refresher to make sure like I took everything in properly. And the best bit is that when it talks about the penguin giving birth, it says they found one of the penguins having an out of body experience like Fuka had earlier, and I was like, are they implying that she gave birth? Like, that's not what I got from that.
Well, there's also, like... I'll come back to the point I'm about to make, actually. But yeah, so, like, the second episode... Because the first episode is very much an introduction. And I quite liked it. And I think, to be honest with you, like, you could watch the first episode and probably decide if you were going to want to keep watching it or not. Because you kind of get the gist of the tones. Second episode, I think, is good and kind of... You know, we see the character start working in the aquarium, and obviously it goes horribly wrong because there's even a comment made by their old manager as they're about to leave, like, oh, that girl's gonna find it hard in the real world, and lo and behold, she does. But you know, it also, I don't think they explained how she would have to actually feed the penguin. Like, surely you would say, by the way, the penguins will bite you. She just proceeds to get like absolutely wrecked by penguins. Someone please edit the Doom soundtrack over that. And to get away from the penguin, she jumps into the pool of water, and then she gets scolded for jumping in the pool because the other character is basically like, you could have hurt the penguins, and like the most important thing is the animals, which is a very valid stance, and I can respect her like commitment to protecting the animals. And that's where, like, I guess the conflict, not even the conflict, but that's the difference between these two characters, is one's given up on their dream and the other is trying to save their dream, and it's all about dreams and that strange, I'm going to call him a spirit, who just keeps appearing every now and again and eats a fish.
Yeah.
Not even a fish, a fish head.
Yeah, that was what called me out in the first episode. Why was she, like, praying to the fish head?
That's an offering to the shrine, wasn't it?
Yes.
Like, well, yeah, I got that, but why? Why a fish head? Also, there's a bit where she gets the fish head, right? And I'm pretty sure she replaced it with just a slightly bigger fish head.
Yeah, she does. She does, like, a very kind of modest wish. Walks off and then runs back, puts a bigger fish head down to offer, and then is just like, please help me, which I thought was quite funny, actually. And yeah, and then we get to the third episode, and yes, a penguin bites her in the bum. I couldn't help but laugh at that.
What was it, a bite? Because it just looked like it shoved its beak up there.
To be fair, though, and they actually capture this, it's very brief, but when she's like about to feed the penguins for the first time, they do like a... You see it from her perspective, and like one of them opens its beak. And I don't know if you've ever seen the inside of a penguin's mouth. It is horrific. And they kind of captured that, but it's only there for like a couple of frames. And I thought that was a nice detail because it's just kind of like, yeah, no, penguins are like, they'd be vicious. They also stink. Random fact. But yeah, jump to the third episode. So the second episode is just her basically kind of beating herself up, being like, I can't do anything, boohoo. And then. Not much else happens. And then the third episode, they're like, oh, there's a problem with the penguins. We should get the vet. The vet's on maternity. I'm going to call the vet anyway. And the vet's like, yeah, I'll come out. The vet is, that the first thing the vet says to them is, yeah, I'm like late on the pregnancy, but it'll be fine. And as soon as she said that, I was like, she's going to give birth in the aquarium, isn't she? 5 minutes later, oh, I think my water broke. Oh my God.
Yeah, it's, there's a lot of birth, isn't there? Cycle of birth.
Am I the only one that finds it weird that, like, you know, she's gone into labor, and I appreciate I'm thinking about this logically, they probably wanted her by the door so that when, like, the taxi / ambulance arrived, they could easily move her, but they just put her in the middle of the entranceway to the aquarium where there's just, like, random people just standing watching her.
You never know when a doctor's just going to walk through the door, though, do you? So
They did set up some blocking, some temporary walls.
I think they actually closed the aquarium, didn't they?
Yeah. They put up the walls and then closed the aquarium.
Yeah. And Owl gets, you know, happy ending, that gets resolved, and it's a happy end to the episode, and they make a comment about how mothers are amazing, and then the main character finally tells her mum where she is. She's like, oh yeah, I ran away to Okinawa, but I'm fine. But the thing I was going to say just a moment ago, that because you mentioned about the whole giving birth, there's a random scene, I think it's in like the first episode, where we see, because we learn that one of the girls, she lives with her grandparents because her actual parents died when she was young. And we see her holding like a maternity book, and there's one for her and there's a blank one. And she asks the woman who's just given birth, like, oh, when do you get those? And there's like a quick exchange, like, oh my God, are you pregnant? She's like, no, I'm not. And she says, oh, you get given them when you find out you're pregnant.
You get given them by Okinawa. So come here and give birth to your children at fabulous Okinawa.
The best place to birth your child.
Anyway, yeah, and then they don't say anything else, but like it heavily implies that like her mum was pregnant again, maybe around the time she died. And like for a split second, I was like, wait a minute, is this show about to get really dark?
Well, that's what I don't get. Like, there just seems to be so much pregnancy in it that I feel like it becomes a main topic. But then I'm like, is it a slice of life if she becomes pregnant and has a kid? That feels very un-slicey of lifey.
Yeah, the show. Like, I actually, for once, I actually took notes, believe it or not. And one of my notes was, like, it feels kind of, like, it has this theme of, like, fresh starts and dreams. And it feels kind of like a break. But there's also just, like, yeah, the pregnancy thing kind of, in the third episode, came out of nowhere. And, like, there's a lot of, like, implying stuff in that episode. But also, the show, and I'm pretty sure it's not, I think it's just Yuri bait. Like, it kind of, and even from the promotion material, I was like, is this a Yuri? Like, this would be cool. I get the impression it's not. It's just very much like, they're just good friends.
Well, one of the characters is implied to be gay. One of the male characters.
Oh yeah, because he gets drunk and starts complimenting how good looking his friend is.
Yeah, starts heavily flirting, and he doesn't like women. Like, not in a bad way, apparently. What?
I like the idea that this guy once got drunk and like started hating on women, and then he's not actually gay, but to make it so he's not sexist, he now has to be gay. It's just like, this is what I mean, that like it all feels very disconnected, doesn't it? Like nothing so far makes sense, which is, I guess it could be one of those where like things start tying together the further you only get, but shows where everything is convoluted after three episodes, or everything's a bit illogical after three episodes, they never end up good. Like never. They never do.
If this was a 12-episode series, I could almost forgive the randomness of, like, jumping to, like, a whole pregnancy. Like, the kind of random tonal shift of, like, whoa, it's just, like, jumping up. But the fact it's 24 episodes makes me feel like, well, hang on a minute, like, where the heck's it going to go from here?
Yeah, like, it's just going to keep doing this, and then eventually there's going to be a bit like, oh, by the way, this. And you're like, oh, it's all clicked. And you're going to be like, no.
I'll be honest, when you said it's 24 episodes, I was not surprised. It is a super slow moving show. Things take so long to happen.
Yeah, we've had loads of things take ages to happen, and they're still not very good.
I didn't say it was good.
Well, I think that's a good segue into I suppose our impressions of the first three episodes. As we always do, we like to give a thumbs up, a thumbs down, or a meh based on the first three episodes. I think you can probably tell what everyone's going to say, but hey, as we always do, Ace.
It's a thumbs down. The two main characters didn't meet in the first episode until the final minute. Literally, I checked. It was crazy.
Also, Ace, I don't even notice this. It's another one of those shows where the episodes finish about 4 minutes before the runtime does, and it's just outro for ages.
It looks really good, but it's nothing happens. If you're not watching anything else, then sure, watch this. But it's not high on my recommendation list.
Rhodes, how about you?
I'm going to shock you all and say I give it a meh rather than a thumbs down. It's as you said, Nikki, it's a 24-episode show. So I'm not particularly rushed to give it a thumbs down, because it could get, you know, there's 21 more episodes of this development. If it was 12 episodes, it'd be a thumbs down, because nothing could save this in 9 episodes. But it's got to pace itself. It's a gorgeous looking show. I think it's one of the best looking shows I've seen so far, to be honest with you. There's not particularly anything annoying about it either. Like, you know, like I got through all three episodes and they were pretty inoffensive. I wasn't like, oh God, I hate that character. They've got an annoying voice. The whole thing's pretty well voice acted. And I think if you're a big fan of Slice of Life, you'll like it. Right? It's another one of those shows. If you like the genre, you'll probably like the show. It will scratch the itch. I don't really, so I'm not going to like this either. But I don't think it's bad. I just think it's set itself up for an uphill battle to become good.
No, I think that's fair. To be honest with you, if it wasn't for the rant, like the third episode itself really kind of threw me off track a bit. Had the third episode been more like the second episode, yes, it would have been slow. I would give this a thumbs up, but I think based on the first episode, it is going to be a meh. I kind of want to see if and when they deal with the fact that, like, because I imagine the parents are going to turn up at some point. And I kind of want to see how that gets resolved, if that's going to be soon. But yeah, 24 episodes, it's got some, it needs to kind of develop it. So yeah, I don't know. We've already said quite enough about it in terms of how it looks. It's, there's no faults there, but I think if I would recommend watching at least the first two episodes. And then like you'll very clearly know by then if this is a show you want to watch. I kind of like as a bit of the first two episodes, I was very much like, this could be a show that's like a good palate cleanser for the week, even though it is Slice of Life, not much happening. But the third episode just threw me out. So, but yeah, it's not bad. It's not bad. It's just, yeah, you know, it's maybe not for us.
If you don't like Slice of Life, you're not going to like it. Like, it's not going to be the one that wins you over.
Yeah, 100%. All right, but as always, we'll leave our final scores for the end of season episode. But I think that'll do it for today. So thank you very much for joining me, Ace and Rhodes. And as always, thank you very much for listening to this episode of the Powers Anime Lounge. If you like the show, then why not subscribe on Stitcher or Spotify? You can also enjoy the video versions of each episode on YouTube. Just search for the Powers Anime Lounge to find them. And as always, we release new episodes every Thursday and Saturday at 8 p.m. UK time. So check back to wherever you're listening to this one to catch the next one.